Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the NXT 2.0 preview. I'm Adam from What Culture, joined by the Dally Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamflett and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT 2.0. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT 2.0, but talk about our role. interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete. A really good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by half and Sidgwick, look at stupid for now, because it might not be 2.0 anymore, eh, Sidge?
Not even 2.0. Not even 2.0.
Yeah, Discovery. Breaking news, this, isn't it?
Breaking news. We thought that in order to remodel the building, which basically involves the incredibly arduous task of turning out every single light to make it really bleak and intense and boring and crap and Triple H. We initially thought it would take a couple of weeks for the full rebrand to take effect. There are spoilers out there. I've not read them.
No.
And quite easy to avoid, actually. suggesting that they've got all of this stuff in the can, two episodes taped in the can, in order to facilitate 2 weeks of work that would enable them to, you know, completely redesign the gimmick. It's just changing some bloody graphics on an LED. Mm. It should take, like, you don't have to, I don't know, whatever. Ultimately, on the YouTube channel, WWE official YouTube, they do a little gimmick where they say, oh, it's NXT and you should watch it. Like an advert. And I watched this and it just says, NXT tonight. I'm thinking, what? What? There's no 2.0. The logo's there and it's just, I think the NXT thing just starts tonight.
Slapped atop the colour palette that we're used to. This is paint splashes everywhere. So it's like, maybe things are going to be all right, NXT. It's like, oh.
I think it'll be a gradual phase out of something that actually started to get a little bit of numbers by the end. Just to facilitate Triple H's pathetic whims.
Vindictive agenda. Which, as I say, is kind
failed.
Of a perfect fit on Raw and SmackDown. But yeah, in the one place, the destination of his biggest professional failing is now a thing that he's going to pretend didn't happen. So number one, he does the interview with Errol Helwani, and we delve into that quite a lot. But just to kind of like get some numbers, get some conversation going, he says, yeah, the beat at developmental, so what? And he's therefore...
Well, it was the third brand in Survivor Series 2019 in the one.
So he's like out loud acknowledging...
So it's the number one brand. AEW beat the flagship, if anything.
He's like acknowledging out loud that they lost. Thus, in a roundabout way, vindicating maybe not the aggressive, sexualized remodeling of NXT, but certainly a remodeling of it, a remodeling of the idea. Acknowledging that, and then turn it back into the thing that he's acknowledged he just lost.
Mm-hmm.
Make mind up, Paul. What is it? Like, so for this, if you're at least saying, yeah, the beta developmental brand, you're saying, yeah, so what? It was a loser brand all along, was it? So what's your fix to this? Taking it back to being a loser brand. Now it's finally started getting an audience again. Do away with that.
Yeah, I think he's got, obviously we'll review these next couple of weeks because there's still drops of what we used to love in and around this show. Like the Clash of the Titans we're going to be discussing a little bit later on.
little dribbles and spunk remaining.
But after that, he has 1 week and then I think... We collectively can make an executive decision as the three most powerful people on this podcast network.
Certainly in the 2.0 universe, I think.
To announce the closing down of the NXT review and the starting up of the new NXT Level Up review. Here we go, because that's where they're all going to be pissed off to, isn't it? Oh, yeah.
Welcome to A Stacks in the Dark, where AEW's YouTube content is reviewed by Stacks.
But yeah, I have no idea what to expect.
Is that maybe a stab in the dark, but Starks?
It is now.
That is, all right, okay.
I don't know, just the word shot.
Just all right, okay,
shot in the dark,
okay,
but okay. Starks. Shot! Stab is better.
But I have no idea what to expect from this show, whether or not still we're going to have any fun with it, or whether it's just going to be back to, Sidge, what do you make of this 3.5-star match? Sure was 3.5 stars.
Yeah, sure was 3.5 stars, by the usual consensus metric.
So yeah, we got this week and next week are taped, aren't they?
What?
This week and next week are taped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the other end of when 2.0 first started, and you had Tommaso Ciampa as the first champion. I love it here. Always have. And this is the other side of that. You've got the 2.0 guys that are now presented as like the legend figures. Time for me to, like Cora Jade, time for me to walk away. Putting over some boring mid-range worker. Guess I'm going to have to leave my skateboard there.
Loads of other people do like retro reviews.
Like that boots, but it's a skateboard.
Yeah. Should we just Wendy Chu just like leaves the eye mask. I can see clearly, after all.
Maybe it's time for all of us to wake up. Should we just do a retro review of NXT 2.0? Just go back to the beginning. Starting again from last September.
There is a great podcast. It's non-wrestling related, so I heartily recommend it. Because it won't affect our position in any charts. Mm. It's called The Worst Idea of All Time, and two comedians review the same film every week for a year.
What?
And by the end, much like 2.0, like it sort of becomes their own universe more than the film, and it's always a bad film. So they did like Grown Ups 2, Sex and the City 2, and they put one out to a fan vote, and they were made to watch Sex and the City 1 after they'd done Sex and the City 2. It's good. They gradually unravel week after week. It's really funny. It just becomes its own in-universe thing. I'm thinking that should be our 2.0. We never leave 2.0. Like, NXT carries up for years, and it's just, well, it's without our sixth watch of episode 7 of 2.0.
Either that, or yeah, we just build our own universe, and then at the end of each podcast, run through the six matches that actually happened on the episode of NXT. So, JD McDonough had a work rate victory there, didn't he, Sidge?
Yeah, I think Oney Lorcan was really good in the match. Probably went about 4 minutes too long. Being able to work was good. There's nothing to complain about, and that's how Triple H gets you. That's how Triple H wins, apparently.
We could do...
I can't complain too much. That's Triple H for you.
We could do... We could do a 5-star review.
Hey, this restaurant didn't give me food poisoning.
That's exactly what it is.
Like a short, crap and wrestling-related 5-star review. Like, every week we break into the NXT review to review one thing that somebody requests from the 2.0 yes. era, just to keep its spirit alive amongst... something that will definitely be skippable. Like, can you imagine a week where there isn't something worth skipping on Triple H's NXT?
And I reckon we could get away with it, you know, because everyone who joins us for this kind of is already, they know what they're getting every week from the, or what they used to be
and based
getting
on the replies to tweets and engagement, they're not watching.
Yeah, I was going to say, no one's going to snitch tag us and be like, you know, you didn't review NXT this week. I'd like to hear a review of that. So, yes. So we're going to start reviewing Sex and the City 2 2 weeks today. No, let's talk about this show, because there is some good stuff in there. Your Bat Boy, who hangs upside down from the roof whilst he gets a shave or something, is facing the boy who needs a shave, Tyler Bate, to see who will face Bron Breakker next. To be fair, this will be probably a decent match, considering the guys involved in it.
3 3/4, 16 minutes, if it probably could have went 12.
Yeah, a very...
Welcome back.
A very, very Triple H match. In one of the top spots on this show to kick off his new era of this brand, I guess. I don't know. The problem with this, I will end this again, there's going to be so many comparisons where it's like, you know, at least with 2.0, they did this thing. Generally, when Bron Breakker steamrolled through somebody, if there was any afters, it was very much just to segue into the new thing. This feels like Bruce Pritchard and them lot had a go with JD McDonagh, and right at the end had a go with Tyler Bate. I want to play with them too. So he's like, he's putting them, but these two Bron Breakker losers back in a match against one another because he thinks he can do it better. I loved the Tyler Bate Bron Breakker match. I think it's the best version of a bad idea, which is making Bron Breakker have these long matches. The Bate one's as good as that was going to get, I think. But I don't want to see it again. He's beat him conclusively. JD McDonagh was immediately established as a second tier loser the second he like came in, made his big statement and lost as well. So I'm kind of dreading this being like a triple threat where Bron beats them both. Like, these are his toughest challenges and he's beaten both on the same goddamn night. Which means we're either not getting a finish or we're getting one of them disputed ones where it's like a German suplex and both sets of shoulders are down. So
yeah.
They're both losers, but then they frame it as like, they're both winners in a way, if you look at it differently. And Bron beats them both. But what does that really achieve?
Nothing.
Nothing at all. He's beaten them both clean.
If that doesn't happen, and one of these guys simply wins, then what useless booking?
What are we doing here? Yeah.
What are we doing here? If you lose, you lose. You go for a different goal, or you maybe turn. There should be some character development in the event of a loss that isn't basically going into the title picture as an infinite loop.
Yeah.
Like, where does it end? Where does this logic end? If you've lost, right, you should just lose and go on to different things. Like, right, okay, I lost. Got my arse kicked. Can't do accents.
Tyler Bate?
That's one of the two. One of them. Lost, got my ass handed to me. You know, I'm not done. In NXT, I still want to succeed. Something else.
You have to go to back of the line. That's what I was taught growing up.
Back of the line, you know, I need to build myself back up. Either you say, right, okay, I need to do the hard work if I'm a babyface, or if I'm a heel, say something like, I don't know. Usually don't really take the blame. So they could say, I got screwed. That's Scottish.
They didn't give him an escape hatch, did they? He was basically like saying, losing's actually the real quiz.
Yeah.
If you're Jeremy Donner,
yeah, he got hit with a finisher and then went up and went, do it again.
Yeah, do it again.
I like that, bro.
I like that, bro.
It's really good. So basically, I don't know what they do, but they don't do this. Because whereas, logically, if you extrapolate this, just don't do it. It's boring. It's an excuse to get a good match. Yeah. Great. A good match against two people who probably aren't worthy of being on telly. Telly wrestling is its own art form. And Tyler Bate is already good at it.
This has probably happened on NXT UK as well, hasn't it?
Yes.
If such a thing was real.
Did a takeover match, these two fellas?
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't like it very much. I was told it was great, and it's left absolutely no cultural impression.
Falsest, fakest praise ever, those UK takeovers. Jesus Christ.
Disgusting. There was actually some great stuff on there, but you couldn't really let yourself like it because don't sleep on NXT UK. Even though I'm going to do that until the next takeover, which didn't actually happen. And then
are you watching Vince McMahon? Are you watching Vince McMahon?
No. No, he wasn't.
Ow.
Remember when he had to say, oh, I'm fucking dead. It's like, no, he didn't.
I love it. It's got to wear a Walter Spott flavor to it.
So I've got no interest in this. I don't buy any of them beating Braun because if either of them were going to beat Braun, they would have beaten Braun.
Same. The first thing I thought when I saw this pairing specifically was no finish, disputed finish, triple threat.
Yeah,
you and might I be right do there. Not care.
Yikes!
Oof. It's back.
Shawn Michaels sucks, isn't he?
Yeah.
Already got a booking.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Sid, a match you are genuinely looking forward to tonight is the second in the two... What's it called? I was about to say 2 out of 3 falls match. 2 out of 3 matches match.
Yeah, best of 5 series,
best of 3, I think.
Best of 3, is it?
I think it's a best of 3.
It'll be over tonight if it's best of 3, isn't it?
Well, it's not going to be.
Well, spoiler, Nathan Fraser versus Axiom.
I thought it'd be a funny voice for Axiom. Exium. Good, not great.
Okay. There's more to that somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere.
It's Dexy.
Have a think. Make it better. Okay. Not just yet. I'm putting you on the spot. Okay. Just, you can. That could be one of your jobs.
Do the math.
Only little jobs like you
okay.
do.
Okay. What about this?
Go to these funny voices.
Because isn't Axiom like a comic book guy?
Yes.
Okay, so what about Axiom?
Nerd!
He's got his.
He's done good. It. Always got one in the back pocket. Always have one in the holster.
Always a voice or always a button. It's like the first time your D's nuts does.
Hey, check this out, guys. But yeah, Axiom, 1-0 up. So Nathan Fraser's winning tonight then.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Nathan Fraser, you know what would be nice, something I'm not going to do, is watching the first match back, because they probably will put some effort into, say, if Nathan Fraser got hit by a move from Axiom, this time he's probably going to scout it, and there's probably going to be loads of little loving details that they're going to put in this match to build on the match that exists in the first place, but like wrestling moves too quickly for its own good. Like, I'm never, ever going to go back and watch that, ever. Even though it probably would behoove me as a critic to be able to really sense the continuity of the story and to see how many layers they're putting into it. So I'm not going to do that, though. But I gather that they will probably do something like this, so that should be good. I don't know where I'm going with this. The match should be very good.
Yes.
The winner's predictable because we know how these things go. You know what I am going to do tonight?
What's that?
I might go back to the Moon Kingdom.
Okay.
It's Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you talked about where Cameron Grimes and Monica had their title match.
Because the Moon Kingdom was like such a cool level where you can do the most like ridiculous long jumps to get to places where ordinarily, if gravity were different, you would just simply die on the way to. And timing them was a thrill. But at the time, I was getting a bit anxious about the Bowser fight. So I couldn't really just enjoy and luxuriate in this beautiful atmosphere and these like really cool game mechanics. But there's always more power moons to get. So I think I'm going to go searching for power moons in the Moon Kingdom and just enjoy zipping about. You know what I love as well in Odyssey?
Yeah.
In the Mushroom Kingdom, but these are everywhere in the game, the little flowers that you throw Cappy on and it just whizzes you about. And if you get a nice chain going, it's just so exhilarating.
Yeah, yeah. They send you for a little ride.
Yeah.
I like the Moon Kingdom when you go in the church, knowing that the wedding drama is over. You can just, you know, when you go in the church.
I've never gone back to the level.
Aye, well, when sort of in the story, when you're in there and it's like, oh, things are going to kick off now. We're at the wedding. I'm going to have to deal with Bowser directly. There's no Skive in this one. Now we only go in the church. It's just nice and peaceful and serene. It's all as it was. There's guests still hanging around there.
That's one of my favorite bits of the game is when you go to the world that you make better by getting rid of the baddies. Then you can just do these really low stakes, like puzzly bits or like races or just like nice, just wander around this nice world without any.
The bouncing ball race thing with. Like in the Snow Kingdom or whatever it's called, is fantastic.
Oh, where you gotta like
build momentum,
and you gotta like
and
just
bounce off the wall.
If you bump, if you bounce into like the proper sharp turns, and you go halfway up the track, if you get the timing
jump
right,
jump in front of them. It's lush. Oh, what a feeling.
What a game!
Yeah,
so much better than anything on the show that we're previewing.
Correct.
You ever played Super Mario? You got a Switch?
You haven't played it.
Super Mario Odyssey is great. Mm-hmm. It is so great.
Given to me for free by Josh Brown of What Culture Gaming with the highest recommendation when I got the Switch.
Oh, Your Majesty, thank you so much.
It's class. It's absolutely brilliant. Guess like 9s and 10s out of 10 in all the reviews. When you look at the reviews online.
Well, Mario games are the best.
Yeah.
They are the absolute best.
And this is maybe the best of the best, I think.
Pinnacle of the form. I love 64. It has aged. That 3D camera can be a pain in the arse. And frankly, it gets a little bit too platformy by the end and the camera can't deal with it. But it still holds up. That's great. You ever played Super Mario Galaxy 1 or 2 on the Wii? Beautiful game. Several incredible ideas. I can never feel right with that Wii controller.
Mario Kart was where they got the Wii controller right, I think. Like Mario Kart. It's not as good as Mario Kart on the Switch, but it's nearly there.
Yeah.
Like those wheel gimmicks that you could attack. That felt
that
right.
That worked. You have to use the nunchuck and the remote control thing from Mario. And I can never get it to feel right. You can hold it as if it was a controller, just with the opposite sides not connected. But I have to do this. It's just unwieldy. And there are bits in the game that I find impossible.
The Switch really is the perfection that the Wii was on the road to. Isn't it?
Yeah. Like
when you think, I forgot about that nunchuck element of the controller. I always think of the Wii just as the one single stick, but it wasn't, was it? You did need both
for
loads of games.
Like those games. It just did not work for me at all. This game, there's bits where you have to like sort of gently guide Mario around some vehicle and avoid like various dangers. And it's just, I cannot move him. I cannot move him. And I gave up and I rage quit.
My youngest son is banging a Deluxe at the moment. He got that for his birthday. Mario Brothers Deluxe U, I think it's called, for the Switch. And it's the first time he's played a Mario that, like, I would be more au fait with. Like, Odyssey was my sort of first one, like 64, because I've never really played that. But the side-scrolling Mario, he's now banging. There's a time limit, which is unusual for him, having played Odyssey, where you just get ages and ages to explore. Now, like, he's not as stressed by the time limit and realises there is actually a purpose to getting through the level. He absolutely loves it, rather than stopping having to break every brick and get every bonus. The extra little bonuses. You can have, like, ice balls instead of fireballs now. Ah. So you can freeze baddies and throw them, and there's just, there's, like, the details that they've added aren't those ones where they've just killed the fun. They are the new bonuses you can have. Like, Mario can get wings and other little things like that that are off, like, Mario 2 and Mario 1, but it's not made it too busy. I struggled with, what was the one, like, you said
Super Mario 3D World.
3D World, like, sometimes I didn't like the 3D engine to it. Like, you couldn't see around corners as clean as I would have liked. So going back to side-scroll has been
the
quite
The Mario
nice.
Kart level, but on foot in that game, is absolutely incredible. And a top five ever Mario experience for me, that. It's just so exhilarating, so much fun.
The retro moments on Odyssey are gorgeous.
Yes, they are,
like, the way in which they fold the old Marios into this brand new game with this gorgeous graphics engine.
If anyone wants a full Mario podcast, speak to Tailford.
The What Culture Gaming Podcast, wherever you get your podcast from. Nathan Fraser to win.
Yes. I would like to do top five personal Mario moments. Like, just the five best moments in any Mario game that you've played.
You never forget that feeling the first time somebody told you on the very first Mario on the Nintendo to run across the top and get into the warp zone. You know, like, the first time somebody oh my God, I can go straight to level 5. I don't have to play the game that has been lovingly poured over. Yes, please.
The slide in Mario 64, I remember just the joy. The first slide, it's like, why didn't people think of to do this in a game before? And that's what separates Mario.
Only just yesterday discovered in battle mode on Mario Kart on the Switch, the where you have to, like, it's called Shine Thief, where you just drive around with a star and you've just got to last 60 seconds or 30 seconds, whatever it is, with the star in this, like, battle dome where every other car is just trying to get you. And it's all I've ever done is Grand Prix and things like that, and it's gripping. It's absolutely gripping.
I try that.
Both kids were playing, like, it was a 3-player, then my wife was playing 4-player. Smashed them all and kept that shine.
Smashed.
One favourite Mario memory? Are you not a Mario guy?
I'm not as much of a Mario guy as you guys. I still remember finding out about drifting in Mario Kart and going, what's going on here? This
I can't do it. I can't drift.
Oh.
I used to drift out the air on 64. Switch, I find it a little bit more difficult.
I can't do it, My 7-year-old son can. He wins every race now. That is the key to victory.
Well, from generations of the Dudleys enduring Mario Kart to the generation of Jades.
God.
That's good. That's impressive. It continues into its second year tonight. Cora Jade versus Wendy Chu.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, no.
Wendy Chu is obnoxious.
Yeah.
And I want that character to be scrapped. I don't want to have to watch her anymore
that
gimmick. She's
got a chance back into 1,000-year-old Dragon.
That's the option, isn't it?
Well, I cannot tell you how much I prefer that.
So you think Boa shows up tonight?
I've got to hope so. I hate Wendy Chu. I just think, fundamentally, as a baby face, she's very obnoxious. The cadence of her promos is very nay-nay in the nay-nay, which means she's here forever because that's Triple H's booking for you. And I think the match will be bad or not great. And it's one of those where it's like, right, okay, it's fun to bury, up to a point. And then by the 7th or 8th minute, you're watching someone wrestling on one scene. It's stupid.
Yeah, I can't disagree too much with that. Cora Jade wins, hitting with the stick when the referee isn't looking. Because that's a thing now. She's got the stick rather than the skateboard.
Mm-hmm. A stick?
She's got a Blair Kendall stick. So she hits her with that.
Christ.
But I like the Cora Jade stuff in general. I think that I was praising it last week, how they kind of, like, made you realise that stuff has happened to this character over the last 12 months. Like, logical developments in this otherwise illogical world. And I do have a lot of faith in the eventual payoff matches helping Cora Jade, because she's in there with people that are going to help her get better. That's the point of a developmental. The gimmick was already half over. This won't be good, but I think it'll help her.
After last night's Raw, all I can think of is, oh, distraction finish. Roxanne Perez comes down to ringside and Cora Jade loses.
She's already done an air there. I think it was me and Murray were doing it, so yous must have been off doing summick, but she's already distracted her in a match where it was Cora Jade versus, I think, it was Cora Jade versus what's her face? Used to team with Io Shirai. It was Zoe Stark, I think.
In the women's division, Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley teaming up to challenge Toxic Attraction.
Christ, this is gonna be terrible.
What's on the horizon for Toxic Attraction going forward?
I do not care.
In case you couldn't tell by their terrible SmackDown matches, a main roster call-up is on the way. It's happening. They're as good as gone now, I think. So this it's funny. Like, Toxic Attraction playing their kind of locker room leader role. Like, laying down on the way out. Like, you got to put the young guys over.
Yeah.
And like... You know, they're pretty young guys themselves, to be honest. But they're going to be seen as like the greatest NXT Women's Tag Champions ever.
Christ, what a combination of words.
Yeah, just like nobody's any good, but they get to lose on the way out because they've been promoted now. They kind of seem to be gradually, not splitting up Toxic Attraction, but separating them two from Mandy Rose, whose own title reign will eventually probably come to an end to. Yeah, they're losing tonight, and this is like, theoretically, I think, going to be the big night. For Ivy Nile especially.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I like Ivy Nile a lot, and I think hopefully there can be some sort of reminder of... I remember when she came in and like she just walked to the side of her side of the ring and just held herself up on the ropes, and we were like, yeah. Who's this?
I think she's great. I think like ultimately it doesn't... And it shouldn't matter, by the way, but it doesn't matter like where her fundamentals are at when you've already got things that make you interesting. And I think she's got a lot about her that is interesting. She's got a lot of natural charisma. She's well cast in the Diamond Mine role, or was, if she's, I'm assuming she's not even really a part of that thing. But she was very well cast in that. She looked like a dangerous fighter of a wrestler compared to a lot of the other part-time job, like characters and gimmicks that they had in this show. So I don't really mind if this match is rubbish or Ivy Nile still can't go, because you take time with people to get them better. She's got enough of the other stuff.
That's it. Just a good point. Does Damon Kemp want everyone in Diamond Mine to lose? In which case, is he going to come out here?
You can't really. You don't see man and women.
No.
Physicality. But which Jensen does.
His music could gag. His music could play. Like Riddles did. His music could just play. And I would go, what? And be frozen.
And everyone else is going to go, what's this?
Yeah.
What on earth does Damon Kemp's music sound like?
That would make you stop in your tracks, to be fair.
Is this?
What? Did I miss a debut or something?
Are you 29 people in this year's Royal Rumble? It's not AJ Styles.
Finally,
good.
We have
got there very quickly.
The unstoppable force meets the immovable object.
It's like we're trying to subconsciously tell Triple H to like get to the point with these matches on it.
Yeah, that's going to be really funny, if not funny. Like, I don't take genuine enjoyment out of this, but all this time that they've put into Joe Gacy courting Cameron Grimes, and then they just go, oh, you're not doing that anymore. you're grizzled young veterans again, and you're just back to doing whatever you want to do again.
There was a bit of, like, the accents, the dad voices were dropped a little bit in that pull apart last week, weren't they? Like, they kind of were just permitted to just speak like normal humans.
Who's in the hoodie?
Who's in the red hoodie? Maybe we'll get that mystery paid off tonight.
You have to know this. Who's in the red hoodie?
White Rabbit.
Boa.
Look at his face. He literally looks like, you know, that golden retriever face on the meme?
Yeah.
That's like, just having this love in its life. It's you.
Anyway.
What was the question?
Well, on one side of the ring, Michael said, you have the locker room leader. And then, interestingly enough, the other side, you have the sort of, how can I put this, horde of the locker room. Because it's Sanger versus Wanger. Von Wagner, sorry. Tonight.
Jesus. Don't wink at me. this is going to be trash, is it not?
Absolutely,
I cannot wait. Like,
I'm so excited for this.
This is like even 100th as bad good as Nails versus El Gigante.
Yeah. Oh,
I will be phenomenally happy. I want this to be terrible. I want this to reek. I just love the idea of what Sanger going to do. Yeah. He's done a lot of talk.
Six matches of experience.
Von Wagner's going to do some big move or something. He's going to be like, stay down. And he just won't. He's got too much fight and too much love and respect for just business that he won't stay down.
I love the idea like that. I'm sorry, I love you. I know you've contributed.
Sorry, I love you.
You've contributed so much to this business.
I'm sorry, I love you.
But what about instead, right? Von Wagner hits him with some sort of kill shot, or maybe a chair shot, or
super kicking pedigree,
right? Something like that puts him down, right? And it's just like he's out, He's out. He's done. Like, he's not moving. And then Von Wagner walks over to ringside and disrespects a little earlier. And Sanger does the Undertaker sit up.
So there's loads I can play with here. But at the end of the day, that Sanger is the most experienced man in that locker room. He's extremely wise. He's just an absolute, just the most profoundly respected guy in that locker room. Hence why he's the appointed leader. Hence why everyone seeks his counsel. But maybe it is just time to go. So maybe he does get, I'm sorry, I loved you. It's like, we admire and will never stop respecting everything you give her business. But it is, you have been around the block once too many times.
Yeah.
You don't want to sully that legacy. In fact, I respect your legacy so much that I feel like I'm the one actually who should be curating it. Me, Von Wagner, I'm going to put you down for good. Or maybe Sanger. Yeah, Sanger. It's got so many tricks up his sleeve, yeah, accumulated over the years,
yep,
of just elite, world-class level craft that he's going to be busting out counters to counters to counters. What's the expression?
Nice try, Wendy Chu, but I don't sleep.
That. The other expression is, I've forgotten more than you'll ever know.
Yes.
So, you know, Von Wagner goes for like the sixth or seventh chain of offense. And Von Wagner will go, no, I learned that a long time ago. And he wins or something. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Who you got, Sanger or Wanger?
Von Wagner.
Yes, me too.
Because Sanger's, we've discussed a lot today, but obviously Sanger's probably just going straight to the name roster now. Like, he's done as much as he can in this brand.
He's already must have already been there.
Straight up to Legends House.
The queue for his Hall of Fame induction is going to be so big. Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby are going to have to jump it to get in front because it's going to be so vast. That's the kind of guy Sanger is. That's what legacy we're talking about here. Von Wagner gets the big win. Joking aside, and that's impossible because this entire match and the reason it exists is a joke, it will be telling here who wins and loses, oddly enough, because Triple H is at the wheel. We know this. Who does he want in these dying days of 2.0 to make us care about going forward? One of these weird losers is going to theoretically be really important to the long-term future of his supposedly serious NXT back the way you like it, the way you remember it. And these guys are crap, and yet they've been presented as like irresistible force, immovable object, Hogan Savage, Hogan Warrior, you know.
The thing is, it's like, Von Wagner's still like a raw young athlete that's probably having more matches than Sanger. Like, I know it's a really nice post-retirement gig, but like the likes of Norman Smiley and Matt Bloom really can't do this forever. I think Sanger's probably going to have to step into their shoes. I really do.
New series are tough enough. You've got Sanger there as one of the coaches.
Like, I know it's hard to let go. That I didn't want.
And leave the memories alone.
Honestly, like, I was watching the Forbidden Door main event, and I thought, my God, Hiroshi Tanahashi is a genius. But one of the reasons why I kind of had that feeling was like, because he's not the Tanahashi of 2012. Yes. He's kind of got that that midriff.
Yeah.
Is muffining
yeah,
a little
fair.
Bit over the tights, and he's got that posture. Where it's a bit crescent moon, and he's
a bit
got
Kurt Angle, isn't
he? Yeah, and he's got that the laboured movement, and he's so phenomenal. That, like, I was watching my favourite man beat him, and I was going, "Oh, come on, Tanner, come on!" His selling was so great.
My X and my six,
yeah,
Moxley and Tanahashi.
And I was just like, "Oh, as much as I love this Tanahashi, I think this is one of your last real big matches." Mm. And you know, I get the same feeling with Sanger as well. Like, he's contributed so much. He's given me so many memories.
The ace of this business.
The ace.
Sanger.
One in a century talent.
I mean, the locker room, I know this is taped, but we can assume, regardless of if they need to remodel, are the locker room going to empty after the match?
Oh,
to give,
doubt,
you know, the stand ovation on the
doubt.
Ramp.
Well, they're going to have to do it on the ramp because by my booking, because I assume I don't know if they take them in order, like, right, we'll take this week's and then we'll take next week's. I'd have done. Mix them all together, have this be the last match. Brock Lesnar, Big Show, but break the ring. That's what I'd do.
Yeah.
Some huge move.
Just retribution level destruction of the venue.
Yeah. Well, let us know your picks for Hulk Hogan versus Macho Man Randy Sanger.
Shut up. That is not getting a pop from me. The streak. is over.
I'd love
a 6 years of bollocks, and you've just.
I don't listen to you. I need a prediction from somebody else. I need to get somebody over from Orlando to save that. Oh!
Hey, guys!
Hey! Stack
is back! Back again! Stack is back! Tell a friend!
Hi, Stacks.
All right, Stack.
So, it's the match that everyone's waiting for.
The match beyond, as I call it.
I think War Games, Stacks.
It's bigger.
Yeah, NXT never really did get War Games right, did they? It's, you know, this could be promoted in collaboration with Conrad Thompson. Sanger's last match.
Jim Crockett Promotions.
You can't accumulate all that experience without being at the end. Who have you got? Have you got the Last Outlaw or the Hot Young Stud?
I gotta go with the man who got the name who rhymes with the Don. I gotta go with the Von.
Jesus.
Stacks.
All right, Stacks.
I think I drank enough water today.
So, right, okay. So in Stacks' mind, and it's his own, something that rhymes with... The guy likes. Okay, I can see that, Stacks. I can see that, Stacks.
What do you think the future holds for the Dan on NXT? You think the bright future for the family?
Well, Stacks, let me answer your question with a question. Now, unfortunately, and this is genuinely, earnestly, like, unfortunate, yeah. Like, Tony D'Angelo was reported to have been injured recently.
Oh.
You're looking awful nervous, Stacks.
Do you know what happened?
I may have heard of something from a buddy backstage. But you know what? You want to know more about that? You got to join us for the preview next week.
LTSTACKS. LT Stacks.
Lawrence Taylor Stacks.
Catch you boys later.
Bye, Stacks.
Bye, Stacks. Oh, wait a minute.
You know where I can get my parking validated around here?
Bye, Hacks.
I was going to ask him another question, but he decided to say that.
He had a question of his own.
He decided to say that.
I wonder how that works, because as I understood it, Stacks takes Tony D Airlines from Orlando direct to Newcastle, yeah. And I'm assuming gets an Uber straight to the office and back again to catch his plane. Why in the Stacks universe would he need a car? If only he was here and he could answer my question. Why would Stacks need to have his parking validated when he uses exclusively taxis and his own airline? That's never a door opening.
Did we just open the door again?
Just in case I
opened it twice there, I think.
Actually,
I walked through the forbidden door.
You ever do that thing where you drive to work and forget you've driven to work? But it's like the opposite of that. I thought I drove. I saw a car out there. I was like, well, that's my whip. That's my ride. Huh? But it wasn't. It was somebody else's car. So if you drive a Renault Clio, apologies to you. I have keyed the shit out of it.
Why'd you key your own car, Stacks?
Stacks leaves his mark everywhere he goes.
Are you okay, Stacks?
I need a little sleep, to be honest.
He needs some more water. He needs some more water. Well, we're previewing NXT. We are really running out of time here. Have you got anything planned for tonight's show before you go? Just soon?
Just say, don't blink. You'll miss the Stagmeister.
Bye, Stacks.
So, let us know your thoughts ahead of the new look, NXT. No, not yet. NXT 2 tonight on Twitter, at WhatCultureWWE. Watch that you can follow all three of
us. Character, isn't he?
You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Michael Sidgwick at...
M. Sidgwick.
Look, I've got another nearly 40 minutes out of this. Adam Wilmore for me on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE for all of us. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you podcast from. for daily wrestling podcasts. Our Raw review is available
right
now. You
think they practice mid-rolls at the Performance Center? We're the masters of them on this.
Who knows? Maybe Stacks will show up on our predictions for who the White Rabbit is. No, you won't. WWE, but I sincerely doubt that.
I don't think YouTube's ready for Stacks, to be honest.
But what culture wrestling wherever you get your podcast from? For daily wrestling podcasts. So now this has been the NXT preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thanks to Stacks. Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.